We read from the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. We read from verses 34 through to verse 48. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who came under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country for the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all that heard that message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. May the Lord bless to us our reading from his holy word. Amen. Great providence of heaven, rhagluniaeth fawr yn neb mor rhyfedd yw. What does that mean? What is providence? By providence we are here tonight. Providence of God's grace and keeping to us to this very moment. Providence, the root meaning is in the word proverb, which is wisdom. The providence of God, the call of God in our lives. How do we respond to that call? Do we ignore it? Do we live our lives as if God doesn't exist? Or do we take seriously that providential grace that is with us because we believe in God and trust in him? Because we have made a decision in our lives not to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, but to embrace it and to come to a faith and a knowledge of the Christ who came into the world to redeem the lost and to give us a living hope in the darkness and the evil of the world around us. So it is by the great providence of heaven that we can say that we are gathered as the people of God. It was within that which he had ordained for us as his children, and we have responded to the call of the gospel. We find in our reading tonight that Peter is in the house of Cornelius. Peter is in the house of a Gentile person, a Gentile man. Peter now, in the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, has come to a realization that that which God had done for him and done for his people was providential, because he had been called by God to a new understanding of God's purposes and will, as we have sung in the hymn tonight. What is God's intention? Can we trust in his wisdom? Can we be those people who in this dark and evil world still hold to that certainty that despite all the evil and the darkness we see around us, that God is still at work and God is working out his purposes despite the evil of men? Peter had to learn that lesson. Before that, he was quite confined, really, in what he believed. He believed in the providence that Israel had been chosen to be the people of God, the chosen people of God, and they alone had the complete monopoly of faith in the one true living God, that God did not have any deep concern for other nations of the world, but that now, as those who had received the provision of God's grace and God's choosing, he was part of a people, the people of God. What a revelation then that God should care for the Gentiles. What a revelation that this man was in a Gentile house, the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. It is here in this house that you remember that Peter had a vision of heaven before him, of heaven being opened up before him, of seeing a great blanket being left down from heaven and all sorts of animals upon it, And Peter was told by God, kill and eat. Oh, I can't do that. It's not in the providence of your grace that I should touch an unclean animal. And the Lord said, don't call anything unclean that I have made. Is that the providence of God? Could it be? Could it be a living realization that God was extending the boundaries, of his kingdom to not only those people he had chosen, but to all of humanity? Yes. That's what he came to realize. That's what he came to understand. And he begins to speak and he begins to share with the people. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. That was for him a revelation that he would never have ordained had he not come to a knowledge of the love of Jesus. How he had come to understand from Jesus that you could not put any confines in God's love. That the gospel message was not only for those who were the chosen of God, those who have been chosen by God, but those who God would still call to himself from every nation and every people. And I think that's a wonderful revelation for us, especially in the times in which we're living, and especially, I believe, on this special day for us as a nation. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. Whatever nation we belong to. But God has called us into this particular nation of which we are a part tonight. And we thank God for what we've received from the great heritage that's been handed down for us. We have been the gospel, we have been the land of revival, we have been the land of proclaiming the word of God. We boast in the rich heritage that we have in terms of our Christian faith. All these have been gifts of God to us as a people. And we are here tonight because of that heritage, because of what God has done for us. But we must not confine our thoughts to just our own nation, but to realize that we are part of the nationhood of all humankind. And that God has a love for all the nations of the world and gives us that blessed assurance that by faith in him, by faith and trust in what he does and what he continues to do, we are the people of God in the world of which we are a part. So what does Peter say first of all? He comes to a realization. He comes, the penny has dropped. Have you heard that expression? When you come all of a sudden to realize that things are not exactly as you thought they were. A sudden realization that this is something that has been brought upon us because we've come to a realization of what God is saying to us. And I think that's a precious gift for us as Christians. We have come to faith in Jesus, and because of that, we are those who live a new life in him. We seek to follow his ways. John Newton, you remember, had that wonderful realization, like a penny dropping of the grace of God in his life when he wrote the hymn, Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus had that similar experience whereby he came to faith and his life was changed completely. We cannot, as Christians in the age in which we live, have a complete understanding of the providence of God unless we too have come to a knowledge of his love in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And when we begin there, when we have a belief and trust in him, then perhaps we look again at the preconceived ideas we had before. Perhaps we have a look at our lives and see and have an understanding of his grace in our lives and the difference that that can make. That we allow him to have a place in our hearts that changes our lives completely in many ways. That we have a love for God, we have a love for his people, we have a love for the church. We have a love for our world despite the evil we see in the world and seek to be lights in the world out there because we have, too have been touched by grace. We sang this morning, let this light of mine shine in the darkness of the world out there. It shines because we have come to the light that is in Christ. We were in darkness, but now we have come to the light of Christ. I now realize, Peter said. And that's a realization that we need tonight as we trust in the God who has revealed himself to us. Trust in the God who in Christ has redeemed us and brought us into a new relationship of grace with him. To realize that once we were far away, but now we are brought near. And it doesn't matter what nation we belong to, what people as we are a part of. We are one in Christ when we believe that. Because Paul speaks of Jesus having broken down the dividing walls of hostility. And then he says himself, he calls himself a witness of everything that Christ had done for him. And he speaks about the sacrifice. He has been a witness. Now Peter was far from perfect, as we know. There were times in his lives when he denied his Lord. There were times when Jesus had to chastise him gently. And yet he was witness to that incarnate love. He had been with Jesus. He had seen Jesus. And that had changed him. We often sing that hymn, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Now let's go back to the context of this again. It was in the context of Cornelius' house. He came to a realization that God's love extended to the Gentile world. So he was changed entirely. Cornelius was a good man. He was a believing man. Tradition was that he was a generous man once he came to faith in Jesus. He had been changed because of his experience of Jesus. Otherwise, he'd never have welcomed Peter into his house. And Jesus does that, doesn't he? Zacchaeus, the tax collector, he had an effect upon that man that changed him entirely. The woman at the well of Samaria was changed because she'd been with Jesus and her life was completely changed. And in the context of the church, of the people of God, this is so very, very important. Because we are called as those who are changed to change the world out there. How can we do that? Because that doesn't come from nowhere. And that is only nurtured in faith within the community of God's people. I'm meeting with three young ladies at the moment who are going to be baptized next month. They've been brought up in the church, part of the junior church. And the wonderful work that's gone downstairs has been the basis. That we meet on Zoom every Friday evening. And it's lovely to share with them, and they're really sort of lovely girls, and we're sharing together, and I encourage them to ask questions, because I try to answer those questions, because look at the world these teenagers are growing up in. It's full of temptation. They have been sort of seduced by the world, and our young people have been seduced to follow different ways than what we would explain to them in the church. The reality is, I can see them growing in faith. They are asking questions. If God is love, why does he allow such suffering in the world? I try to explain to them. It is not through through God that there is suffering. It's through the evil of men. They're coming to see that. What does it mean to be a Christian when all our friends don't understand what Christianity is about? I just said, be yourself. If you have Jesus in your heart, you can be the means by which other people are changed. That's what happened here. And so it's gone on these last 3 weeks, and it's been wonderful to share with them. It really has. What an encouragement and a joy it is. But one thing I did tell them, one thing I tried to explain to them about what the church means, what this community of faith means to which we are a part, that when we come to Christ, when we are baptized into the body of Christ, we are part of this community. Peter encourages those who came to faith at the end of this reading to be baptized. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They are baptized into Christ and raised to the newness of life that is in him. And what I instilled into them was, wherever they would be in the world, the young women, young men, young girls, perhaps they move away from Llanelli, perhaps they'll go to university, perhaps they'll have their own lives. I said, wherever you go, find a community of faith. Find a church. Yeah? Because it is only there that you will be nurtured in the faith. Only there you will learn more about God. Even there, in those places, you will become more like Jesus. Because that is so vitally important. Vitally important for our young people to be part of this community. It was lovely to see the children this morning. I pray that they will grow up in the faith and knowledge of Jesus, that they will be part of this community, contributing to the work of the church in their talents, in what they have, in what they can give, being those who will seek to grow in faith within that community. Because we need the church to grow in faith. We cannot be a Christian alone out there. We cannot separate ourselves from the church. We need the community of God's people as Cornelius needed it, as we need it. Do you know why? To make us more like Jesus, to make us more like him. To be loving and tolerant and understanding of each other, or forgiving each other, not dominating over each other. There's a big debate going on in America at the moment about the prosperity gospel. Many of the large churches with attendance of 15,000 or 16,000 every Sunday, they're beginning to lose ground. The money isn't coming in. Since COVID, many of them have had to close. These vast arenas are empty now. Because the problem is with the prosperity gospel, it speaks about me and God blessing me and giving me some more money if I come to faith, or enabling me to grow and have my three. I always tease Annette, you know. These ministers have their private jets. I've never been offered one in Greenfield. No, that's right. But it's me growing, building castles this side of glory that will collapse. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. And that's the joy of the church, being two or three sometimes, but being in the presence of God and growing in faith and knowledge in him. That's why I encourage these young ladies. Whatever happens in the future, never ever to forsake the body of Christ and to grow in faith and knowledge of him. I'm sure there are many of us here tonight who are so grateful that we were taken to chapel three times on a Sunday. We didn't want to in those days. We'd have done anything to stay at home. But I tell you one thing, I'm sure you can say amen, that when we went there, we learned something that the world could not begin to offer us, and have brought us to faith and a greater understanding of who Jesus is, that enables us to live in this dark and evil world with all the wars and rumours of wars and the uncertainty of the future, that we are grounded in Christ. And Paul says there is nothing now in all creation that can separate us from his love. Your membership in the church is not a name on a church roll. Whatever denomination we belong to, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are his children. And we grow in faith and knowledge of him. Dewi Sant would have said amen to that, wouldn't he? Of course he would have. He was part of the early church. He was a saint of his day. He spoke about the little things of love. He taught people to grow in faith and knowledge of Christ. Dear, what a wonderful privilege it is to be here tonight. Huh? Of course it is. With wonderful privilege that God gives you and me this side of glory to be part of the church of Jesus Christ, where we love each other, give in to each other, where we tolerate each other, where we never dominate over each other, but seek to be a body of faith. That which Christ would see as his people. So, we find that Peter had a changed heart. We find that Peter was a witness to the reality of what faith means in this day. And then Peter, in the midst of all that he was speaking of, the Holy Spirit descended. That's what we find here. When Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on him. The Holy Spirit came on him. Can you imagine that experience in that room? Where the people who had come all of a sudden had a realization in the power of the Spirit that God was speaking to them. That God was revealing himself to them. There have been times in our own nation where the Holy Spirit has moved greatly in times of revival. 1858, 1904. The 1904 revival, which began in Lucha. With just a little girl raising in a prayer meeting her praise to God, and the Holy Spirit came on power. 100,000 people in Wales came to faith. Yeah. But dear friends, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And we can't live in the past, but we can live for the future. Because we believe that the Holy Spirit is present even where two or three are gathered in his name. That the preaching of the word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That we might be more like Jesus. That we might testify to his grace. That we might grow in faith and knowledge of him. That we may teach our children and young people that here within this community, God speaks his word. It is a powerful word. It is a word of peace. It is a word of comfort. It is a word of blessing. It is a word of assurance. You're going to put the news on tonight and it's going to be terrible. Yeah. But you can be sure tonight that the word, what you're seeing in the world tonight, is not the final word. Because the promise is that the kingdom will come. God will intervene in his time, not ours.
And like the early Christians, we know that we keep our lamps brightly burning, waiting for the coming of the bridegroom, waiting for Jesus to come again. And in that day, when it will come, all flesh will see him. And all will bow before him. And that is the day of judgment. The judgment upon evil. The judgment of those who have caused even the littlest ones of mine to suffer. But to those who have loved in his name, to those who have not forsaken the little ones, come, enter into the reward that has been prepared for you before the beginning of the world. That's the promise we can be sure of. And so tonight, dear friends, as we gather here in these troubled times, I pray you will know that. I pray that you will have a real understanding of who Jesus is. I pray that as part of the church we must love each other and care for each other and instill within our young people that which God has for them as one generation gives way to the next. We do not know what tomorrow holds, but tomorrow is already in his keeping. And pray once again, as it happened here, that the Holy Spirit will descend upon our meetings within our communities, within our services, that the word of God might be proclaimed to the salvation of souls. Great providence of heaven. Ragliniaeth fawr yn yr, yeah. It is the providence of God. Peter had to learn that lesson. The providence of God was beyond his understanding, but he yielded to it. And that wondrous truth was made known. The kingdoms of this world lie in his hand. See how they rise and fall at his command. Through sorrow and distress, tempestuous storms that rage, God's kingdom yet endures from age to age. The providence of God, the wondrous grace of God for you and for me. Amen.